Hey. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry that it, cut out. You can hear me now, right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good. Yeah, so we're just starting, and, we're just talking about how, you started, you tried to start an improv group in college, and then you found a Facebook group for, 10 Pure RL, which, Angelo hosts, and, we were talking about how you grew up with Mitch Hedberg and Louis, Mitch Hedberg is great. I do another series on my podcast about, like, where I cover a comedian, and I have, like, people talk about, like, a comedian, and we covered Mitch Hedberg, and he's just fantastic, like, with those really, like, short, fast jokes. With you, like, your stuff is so, like, you tell a lot of stories. Is that sort of, like, on purpose? Like, is that sort of what you're going for, to be more story-orientated?
I think it's a product of me being new. You know, I'm right. Still trying to find where I want to fit in.
Right.
You know, like, I listen to Philly, and, you know, I noticed after writing comedy for a bit, he's got, like, the smoothest transitions into things.
Oh, yeah.
So I kind of wanted to stray away from just joke, and... you know, crafted more into, like, you know, cohesive narrative, you know?
Right.
So the jokes flow into one another. Granted, I haven't really figured that out yet, but it's where I'd like to be eventually.
Right. Well, you're only a few months in. It's a process, you know? I didn't learn how to write, like, a joke until, like, a year, and it was like, you know... But it's a process, and it's always, you know, that's the cool part of it, is, and it seems like you're just, like, very, like, dedicated to doing that. You're coming to everything, and, you know, the one thing that I like about you is that you do what I think is a good idea, is just to, like, do things that you're interested in. Like, you'll research something, you'll see something, like, interesting in the news, or, like, interesting that you read, and you'll be like, I'm gonna make a joke about that. It's like, is that... Has your mind, like, gotten, do you think, faster to jokes now that you're doing comedy, do you think? Or have you always just had, like, kind of that mind of, like, this is funny?
I guess for, like, a couple of years now, back when I was, like, younger, I kind of figured I might want to do this eventually. So, you know, I looked up on Reddit, like, what's a good way to get started, and, I read a post and dude said, just keep like an iPhone note or like keep a little notebook with you and just write shit down you think is funny, you know? And that's kind of how it started. Yeah, like, I try to pick apart everything and, yeah, I read a post that said you can pretty much find humor in like anything you want. And, yeah, that's where I start. You know, I get a lot of free time here in college. I'm not really big and popular. I don't really like the frat parties or anything like that.
Right.
So I get a lot of time to, you know, think about that kind of shit. I got a pretty big inner dialogue.
Right. Do people, like, do your peers and, like, your friends, like, know that you do stand-up now?
Well, you know, I would bring, like, two of my friends. You probably saw them, named Will and Jess.
Mm-hmm.
Initially they came up for, like, support, but, you know, Jess would, like, come up and perform, too.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, she ended up, getting, like, a headliner spot at the, Nip and Tuck. She, like, knew Damien pretty well, I guess.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. Yeah, Damien is, I'm hoping to have him on soon. He's just tell the audience he's like a poet. Like, he's been doing poetry for 10 years. He's amazing. And, like, he's so cool. Like, that's the one thing that's really good about you starting in this area is that everyone is, like, super nice. Like, that's the one thing that I love. Like, I started, how old are you?
I'm 22.
Yeah, I started around that age doing stand-up. So it was, like, you know, when you're surrounded by good people, that's just always the thing. Do you feel like you've gotten along pretty well with everyone?
Yeah, you know, I met some pretty cool people. Like we said, Damien's really cool. I like him a lot. You know, I had a couple of really good conversations while locals. You know, I talked to Angelo a couple of times. Met you, which is why we're sitting here doing this.
Yeah.
A couple cool guys at the Lemongrass Bar, but didn't really make a good first impression there. Never really had anyone just walk away from me mid-conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of my fault, though. I don't really blame them for that.
Right. I always think just comedians are weird people, so it's always a tough thing to do, but,
Yeah, and I get it. You know, they're all local Jersey boys. They all grew up around here, and here's this fucking college kid, like, just jumping in at random.
Right.
So I understand.
Right. Well, it seems like you have a good, like, head on your shoulders about everything, and that's really good. So when you started performing, do you have any prior performing experience? Like, did you do any, like, acting or theater or anything growing up?
Oh, geez. Well, in high school, I wanted to do theater, like, a lot. Like, it's something I always wanted to do. But I went to garbage, shitty public schools and never funded it properly.
Right.
So, it never really met my expectations, you could say. Because you sound like I'm some kind of fucking highbrow fucker. But, yeah, it was never really what I wanted. But what I didn't find in theater, I found in, like, English class. Because I always wrote pretty good papers. Like, I was always pretty good with the written word.
I loved writing.
What's that?
I love writing, too. That was my thing, too. Before I went into doing comedy, I wanted to be a screenwriter. That was sort of my early goal. And,
yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but it's a tough thing. It's a tough area to get into.
Yeah, I was trying to dabble in some screenwriting too, but, you know, I just don't know where I even find people who would want to act out my stuff.
Right. It's like, that's the big part. It's like, oh, that, and it takes a lot of work. But with stand-up, what I always like about it is just, like, you can always just keep writing jokes. Like, you can always just keep going. With me, I would always get sidetracked. That's my big thing. It's like I would start something and then stop it immediately and then start a new thing, and then it's like, oh, with stand-up I can just keep on writing jokes and coming up with new ones and go back to old ones.
Yeah, you know, my plan was, like, eventually I'd finish my degree and then I'd end up getting a job in California, and, you know, there's a lot of wannabe actors and actresses out there, so they definitely flock to me if I was writing all the material, you know?
Right.
So that's where I'm planning on in the long run.
Oh, really?
I'm just here in Jersey.
What are you studying in college? What's your
major? I'm doing, like, Homeland Security, but it's a lot of, like, early 2000s politics and how it fits in today.
Oh, wow.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been dabbling in computer science because that's a bit more relevant, you know, it's something you can transfer to anywhere you want.
Right.
But, you know, the most fun thing I do is doing this comedy.
Right.
You know, you can do it on the side, or, you know, who knows, maybe one day we get noticed, but
right.
You can't really depend on that.
Right. It's all it is you just keep on working towards it, and it seems like you have a really good add towards everything. Have you seen any comedians live?
I went, well, besides everyone else, like, I make sure to stay for, like, the whole show and whenever I go do, like, an open mic or something.
Right.
Because it always felt weird to me when, like, people do their set and then they just, like, leave immediately after.
Oh, yeah. I used to have that bad habit. I would do that. I would, like, stay for a couple of my friends, and then I was like, I have to stay after longer.
It's like, dude, I'm your audience. Can you, like, be my audience?
Right, exactly.
But, you know, people got shit to do. I kind of understand in that way. But I actually went up to New York City a couple weeks ago. I went to the Comedy Store.
Oh, really? That's so cool.
Yeah, there were, like, a lot of really good comedians, but it was, like, real professionally done. It's, like, a little club, maybe seats about, like, 100 people at max.
Right.
There's some really good people up there. And, you know, after the show was done, they had, like, a bar out there, so I was just drunk enough to be confident to approach one of the comedians. Never got her name because she was, like, an impromptu. I guess someone was, like, absent that day, so she filled in. So, like, I approached her, and I was like, hey, how'd you get to the point where people are paying you to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she gave me some really good advice. She's like, you have to, you know, just go to whatever you can. And you gotta rise up with other people, you know, you gotta foster that community. You know, I have a couple guys you do a lot of shows with, so that really resonated with me.
Yeah, that's the one thing that, like, I think is very important that a lot of people, like, they just sort of overlook is it's the, like, grind. It's, like, you have to do all the stuff that's, you know, that's terrible. Like, the worst shows end up being the best because they're just, like, you get experience from them. And you learn how to rise up. And, like, have you, you talked about, like, lemongrass, but, like, have you dealt with any, do you think you've dealt with any, like, difficult crowds or anything like that?
What kind of crowds?
Like, any type of, like, more rowdier crowds? Have you dealt with anything like that?
I haven't been heckled yet, thank God. I have no experience with it, so I know I would just fucking blow it immediately. I've been working on it, you know. I know as a comedian, you really have to think on your toes like that.
Right.
So, it's an area I really need to work on because most of my stuff, like, most of the jokes, I, like, mull over for, like, weeks on end. And, you know, I'll rewrite them and write them again. And I'll be like, this is shit. I just got to throw it away. So, you know, this is a big process, so thinking on my feet hasn't really been a,
right,
strong suit of mine.
And when you get on stage, you, like, you seem to, like, know how to, like, talk really well. That's what surprised me, if you had, like, any type of, like, background with talking. Were you, do you think you were always, like, a performer type growing up? Like, were you funny as a kid? Do you think?
Yeah, I mean, funny in the way of, like, a kid, but, I don't know, I didn't really develop a fancy sense of humor and kind of diction until I started watching stuff like Anthony Bourdain. Like, I used to just love the way he would talk, and I always wanted to kind of talk in the same way, I guess.
Right.
I don't want to, like, completely copy him, you know, I want to do my own thing, but I always loved the way he was just so smooth with words, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to kind of do that, too.
Right. That's an interesting, like, influence to get from him. But he was, like, huge. Like, I guess you can take really influence from anyone. Did you have anyone else that you sort of looked up to?
Oh, geez. Okay. So, I have, like, a handful of comedians that I, like, grew up listening to, you know. Classics, like Jim Gaffigan.
Oh, yeah, love Jim Gaffigan.
Louis C.K. was always someone I grew up with. I love Hannibal Buress. Hannibal was, like,
oh, my God. Favorite. Love Hannibal, too. He is one of my favorites. I just love how he is so opinion. He has such an opinionated, like, point of view. Like, it's so good to, like, see, like, the stuff that he talks about and what he gets into. Like, his personality is just so great. Like, have that. And, like, to watch him, like, I saw a clip of him from when he was, like, starting out, like a month in, and he used to be so different. He used to be like so much quieter and like, you know, like of course like a little bit shyer, but like he's great. Like, and I love a lot of his stuff. Have you watched any recent comedy out? Like, listen to any comedy albums lately or any specials?
Well, I'm always on Pandora looking for new material.
Right.
Let me see if I can pull up what I've been listening to. There's a really good female comedian I've been listening to a lot more.
Oh, really?
Her name's Kathleen Madigan.
Oh, yeah. I saw her live. She's great.
Yeah, she's, like, really good. She, honestly, like, Amy Schumer's, like, decent, but, like, Kathleen Madigan should be, like, the premier female comedian. She's, like, the best there is right now.
Oh, yeah, she is. She's, and what's great about her is she's great for everyone. Like, she's not super dirty, so, like, she can pretty much, like, her, she's just great for, like, anyone you can bring to her to see her. She's just very, like, all-round good. And
yeah,
when I saw her live, it was just like, oh, my God, this is so good. And, yeah, I remember
her. That's what I've respected from, like, comedians like her and, like, Jim Gaffigan, because they were able to, like, walk that line, you know, being funny without being crass. Like, that is hard to do.
Oh, yeah. Gaffigan, I get such, like, a, like, an influence of just being, like, a lot of my self-deprecating stuff, I get a lot of influence from that, because, like, and also I see that in you, too, like, you don't mind, like, sort of making yourself the joke and stuff like that. It seems like you're good with that, too, like, kind of making fun of yourself. To, does that resonate with you, do you think?
Yeah, you know, I work on it, but, self-deprecation is so hard to do well.
Yeah.
Because I've done shitty self-deprecation, and, you know, that's just, no one wants to see some guy just brag on himself, because you just look like a sad fuck up there. Like,
right, exactly. Yeah. And you don't want people, you don't want pity, that's what you don't want. You want people to laugh, you want people to think it's silly. So, like, that's always what you have to, like, balance.
Yeah, so I've been trying to toe that line and, you know, go back to more just observing shit that I see, you know?
Right, that's the one thing that, like, is really good with you. Like, you have a very observant, like, mind for stuff, and when you see stuff, like, one of your bits that I really like is the pig heart, the guy that got the pig heart transplant.
Oh yeah, I like that one too.
I was like, that's just like what you do as a comic. Like, you find, like, is that usually what you do? Like, do you read, like, medical stuff like that a lot to see, like?
Well, it's like a product of, you know, I don't really fit in here at this university too well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I spend a lot of time on, like, online. I read a lot of Reddit and a lot of YouTube.
Right.
So, you know, I just see a lot of that stuff there. And, you know, I just think about it and I'll have a couple drinks and get the gears moving and I come up with stuff like that.
Yeah. It's just like, this is so, it's so good, just that, and, you know, with, do you get, like, how is it living with other, you're living with other people, right? You have roommates?
Yeah, I live with, I got one roommate, Will, he's the guy who comes to most of the shows with me.
Right. Do they ever, like, do you ever bounce ideas off of them, or, like, tell them, like, not tell them jokes, but, like, when you're writing stuff, do you?
All the time.
Oh, that's good.
Most of the time before I go up on a stage, I would end up making Will, like, read my whole bit to me over. And he'd be like, okay, is that funny? And he'd be like, it's like kind of funny, and I'd be like, motherfucker, I need it to be like really funny.
Right.
I can't just have kind of funny. Those guys have ripped my ass apart. It just sucks.
Well, at least you have that, like, you have a good mind for that. You're like, yeah, I need this to be good. Like, I think that's one thing that you always have with comedy is you have an expectation of what you want to be good, and that's good to you.
No, I'm not even afraid of bombing either.
No, it's not bombing that's... It's the thing that's terrible about bombing is the... it's always the crowd, like, just the energy of the crowd. Like, you can bomb and people can be polite, or you can bomb and people can be, you know, just not care. And that's the worst. The worst is when people don't pay attention. Like, I'd rather people boo or, like, get upset than nothing. Like... Like zero.
Because if they boo you, then you're like, okay, I'll never say that joke again.
Right.
But if it's like lukewarm, then you're kind of left with, is that a shitty crowd? Did they not like it? Can I tell this again?
Right.
And that's always the worst spot to be in.
Yeah, and I always like my main thing is just I like to kind of be upbeat and stuff. So I'm like, yeah, this is. It's gonna be that. Have you watched any Netflix specials or anything?
I got one I've been meaning to watch. I'm probably gonna check out Ronnie Chang's new special.
Oh yeah, I watched his last one. It was. It got a lot of praise, but like to me, I wasn't really super impressed with it. But. It was cool to hear, like, afterwards, like, that he was at least, like, he's really loved, like, he's really respected, which is really, really good, like, but,
Yeah, he's a lot of fun. what else can I listen to? I like a lot of, who's the dude who tells a joke about Smoothie Guy?
About what?
About Smoothie, hold on.
Oh.
Dan Cummins. I really got Dan Cummins.
Oh, Dan Cummins, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's fucking... I love how, like weird his premises and stuff can be, and... Yeah, he's great, and he's been doing comedy such a long time. It's so, like, interesting to see, like, his transformation. Like, I've seen him, like, go from skinny, like, single to how he is a dad now. And it's, like, that's the coolest thing with comedy is you kind of get to see people. Well, you see that same thing with, like, Louis. Like, when he was younger, he was, like, thinner. And then you see him get heavier and have kids. And it's, like, it's kind of cool you get to see people grow up. That's what I love about, you know, comedy is you kind of get to see the evolution of people and, like, how they grow up and how people sort of become, like, younger to older. And, like, it's so interesting for that.
For sure.
And to see, like, how material evolves, like, everything. Like, it's such a cool thing to see. Have your... Do your parents know that you do stand-up, or have you told them about it?
Yeah, they do. They weren't really happy with it originally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was, like, the one thing my mom didn't want me to do. Like, she would have been fine with being, like, a grave digger or something, but comedy is the one thing she never wanted me to do. She always said, like, comedians are always, like, horribly depressed and they're addicted to some kind of drugs. And, you know, there's plenty of examples of that online.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a valid, you know, worry for parents, you know. But the one thing that's, like, that's like good is at least in our area, like we're kind of away from all that. Like I know a few people, but yeah, that's such a hard stereotype too, because it is, there is a lot of truth to that. But and also it doesn't seem like, it seems like at least for you in your case, like you're taking a very mature approach to it. You're not like, you're not like throwing everything away. Like you're still going to college, you're still doing what you can do. So that's kind of a positive. Yeah, you know, that you're,
I was just saying, sorry,
I didn't mean to cut you off. Are they like happy that you're like, they must be just like happy that you're continuing with college and everything, right?
Oh yeah, that was their biggest fear, is that I was just gonna drop out and do comedy.
Right.
But you know, with some of the crowd receptions I've gotten, I don't think I can drop out and do comedy yet.
Right. As long as you gotta take it.
It's just something fun to do.
Right. You gotta take it slow. That's always, that's a big thing too. Like that's the one thing I think a lot of people, like, especially when you're getting into comedy, there's people that don't really pay attention. They think you're just going to fully get into it, and it just doesn't happen like that. You just, it happens gradually. Like, to me, I just always have, think, like, things just happen, you know, and you can, and that's when things, like, for me, I didn't know, like, that I would be moving in with a comedian that I'm friends with and, like, stuff like that. Like, I didn't know that that would happen. It just, you know, sort of came about and took a long time. But that's the cool thing is, like, you always have time, especially at our age. Like, being in your younger 20s is, like, you have the whole world ahead of you to do stuff. You don't really have to rush. Do you feel like you started, like, at the right time? Do you feel happy, like, that you started at this age?
I do. It took me a bit to realize that, but, yeah. You know, I kind of looked at, like, I looked at Billie Eilish, of all people, and I was like, fuck, she's 18, and she's, like, a billionaire. She's, like, all known.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, holy shit, what am I doing? I'm looking up, like, pro tips on League of Legends. I need to, like, do something relevant. Like, I need to put something out there.
Oh, yeah.
So, that was a big thing. And then I looked at Pete Davidson, because he's, like, the youngest one who's really, like...
Oh, yeah.
Like, made it. And then I realized, he's, what, like 28?
Yeah, he's the same age as me, yeah. And,
so I realized that, you know, being a comedian, the time you make it, it's really later than most other...
Oh, no, it takes a long time. You know, that's kind of the funny, that's kind of the weird thing, is, like, a lot of people, like, they start a lot earlier than people would think. Like, John Mulaney, like, he started in 2002, but he didn't become, like, really known, like, until, like, around 2008. So, like,
yeah.
It took him, like, a while, and it, like... It just happens. Like, you just... It always... I always feel like you have to wait that period of time. Like, 10 years to sort of get to where you want to be. And you can't rush it. That's the biggest thing, to me, that I've learned. Is just, like, you can't really rush anything and want, like, things too much. Because the biggest part is that it's always... You never know how it's going to last. And what's going to happen, like, with everything, so.
Yeah, I kind of figured, you got to pay your due if you're going to do this. You know, every comedian who's made it has that story about them playing in a dog shit bar to four people who don't give a fuck about you.
Right. And one of my favorite, have you ever listened to Mike Birbiglia?
No.
Well, he used to do, like, regular traditional stand-up, and now he, like, he's known for being, like, doing one-man shows, and, he has this one bit that's like that, like, how to be a comedian, you have to kind of be delusional. It's like, you know, you have to say, you have to kind of tell yourself, like, this is going well, when it's not, because if you didn't, you would never get on stage again. You'd be like... And it's the same thing with that. Like, you just perform in places. Like, to me, I think the great thing now is we have such a good community of just people that are, you know, there's that influence of poetry and, like, everything else with performing. You performed at the, I always get that name wrong, the smoke shop, the Scarlet, Reserve?
Room.
Yeah. What do you think of that room?
What's up?
What do you think of that room, like, performing-wise? Like, I like it a lot, because it's, like, it's kind of, like, hazy, and, like, I love the, like, coziness to that, Do you, what do you think of performing there?
Well, hey, I love the environment. It's a great place to do comedy. You know, there's people, they have people who are actually there to go and listen to you.
Right.
Which you can, it's more than you can say for most places.
Right.
I love weed. I adore weed.
Right.
But it is so hard to remember my jokes when I have secondhand high.
Oh, yeah.
It's impossible.
Right.
But, it was like the second place I ever went. And, I love it because the dude who organizes it, I didn't even know he was going to organize it. You know, I had just finished my first time up there and I got back down and, settled back into the crowd, and the guy, he went over and he's like, "You have it." And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, "You got the thing." I was like, "Oh shit, this guy thinks I have the thing."
Oh, that's nice.
You know? Yeah, you know that.
That's like really cool to get validation like that. That must have. That is always a cool thing when that happens, when people say, recognize, like, that you're doing well, and you're like, "Oh, okay, now I got this." It gives you, like, a boost of, like, okay, I got this now.
Yeah, it was great, especially since it was just, like, the second time I was ever doing this. And he was like, you got what you need to do this. And, you know, when someone says that to you, it's hard for it not to go to your head a little bit.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
But, yeah. Yeah.
So, what else can I ask? You know, it's interesting, you just talk about this because I was interested in this. Are you a big fan of Weezer?
I do love Weezer.
Yeah, because you picked one of their songs for the intro, the advertisement, which is great, and yeah, I love Weezer, you know. Is that sort of like,
you know,
the kind of music that you listen to?
Yeah, you know, I grew up and I was always a fucking nerd. Like, I was never not what I am now. I was an anime watching, Xbox playing nerd my whole life. And, you know, I own that shit. I don't care.
Right.
But, you know, Weezer kind of put that into words. Like, In the Garage, that's like my favorite song they've ever done.
Right.
It's just about a bunch of dorky kids who, you know, enjoy what they enjoy in their garage.
Oh, yeah. It's always great, like, you can take, like, and that's the one thing that I've realized with, like, everything that you sort of consume as a comedian, performers, like, it always shows the way you can show yourself, like, the way you can sort of express yourself. I think that's one thing that, like, you can probably do now is, like, kind of talk about that sort of side of yourself. Because the cool thing with comedy that I love is, like, any type of, like, personality that you have, it's sort of represented in the audience. So if you're a shy person, the people who are even, like, more nervous or shyer than you in the crowd will like your stuff. The same thing as, like, if people are dorky like me and like you, it's like they fall into that audience that they like your stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been shy.
Really? Yeah, it's a weird thing. Like, you know, it surprised my parents a lot when I started performing because I wasn't, like, necessarily, like, I was just nervous around people, but, like, to me, it's different when I'm on stage. It's like, you know. Also, it's kind of like you get to have your time. Do you have any siblings?
I'm an only child.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a brother and sister. What has that been like? Did you ever wish like that you had siblings?
Yeah, you know, but I don't know. It's always been nice being the only child. You know, my parents were only children too, so I don't have like a whole lot of extended immediate family. But I realize that doesn't really matter too much. I realize that, you know, you get family when you're born, but your real family are the people you pick.
Oh yeah, for sure.
As you grow up.
Oh, for sure. That's totally true. So have you, speaking of like everything that you sort of talk about, have you seen anything, like, I know you've kind of taken a week, like, time off for your, exam. Did you have your exam yet?
Nah, they're actually coming up this week. I've been, most of the teachers, they like to pile it on, you know, that all the essays and shit are due around the week before.
So right.
I've been working on all of that, getting pretty burnt out, but it's pretty much done now, so.
Right.
All that's left to do is do the finals and head back home to Maryland.
Right. Are your classes, like, in person?
Yeah, they're all in person.
Yeah. That's cool. So you grew up in Maryland?
I don't really want to say I grew up in Maryland. I was actually born in Astoria, Queens.
Oh.
And as a baby, I moved to Teaneck, New Jersey, so I have some New Jersey cred.
Right.
And then I moved to California.
Oh, really? Wow. What was?
And then I lived in Florida.
So you've lived in a lot of places. Was that moving around, like, difficult, like, at all? Like, constantly having to move and everything? Like, that must have taken a little bit of a toll. Like,
I mean, I was young enough, like, to where it didn't really faze me too much. I guess I kind of missed out on a bit of, like, making those childhood friends. But, you know, I made some along the way. Like, you know, I met my best friend in the world in Florida. Dude named Kevin. Awesome. I love that guy.
Right.
He's born in China. Hoping he'll take me one day, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Great guy. But then I ended up doing all of high school in Florida, and you know, I met a lot of cool people there. I met my buddy Brandon Yeah, then I did community college and COVID fucked all that up. So
right.
I didn't really get to socialize too much in community college like I wanted to.
What was COVID like for you? Like, how did that whole entire, like, experience, what was that experience like for you?
So, I worked as a park ranger So, I was dealing with the public every day.
Oh, my God.
And we had really weird rules for the park. Like, the park was only open for, like, exercise. And this was when it was, like, in the thick of summer, too. So people would be, like, setting up picnics and shit. And we just have to spend all day just telling people to fuck off. And they'd have to be exercising or they had to leave.
Right.
So that sucked, but it made the job a bit simpler. And, you know, school, it, like, went all 100% online.
Right.
It was nice because it made my algebra class go a lot better, but, no, it sucked because, you know, that I was really trying to socialize around that
time. Right.
That was when I was trying to put myself out there more, and then COVID came and just threw a hammer through the whole thing.
Yeah, it really did. Like, for me, what was really, bad about it was just, like, I had so much, like, comedy stuff going on, like, mics and stuff, and then it was nothing. But we came back super quick. He came back very early, like, 3 months. And it was, like, it was really cool because it's kind of, it's still the same way now, where there's a lot of, like, underground stuff that you're doing and you're like, oh, we're, you know, we're doing outdoor shows or we're doing something here, and it's just like, find a way.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's been really just a really odd experience, but it's been cool. Like, have you gone back to Florida or anything, like, recently or anything?
Jeez. Well, I don't really like Florida. I like California. I visited a couple times when I was, like, in AmeriCorps. Like, a whole volunteer thing. That's a whole other can of worms to right. get into. But I do love California. Love the weather. Love the food. They got, like, the best fast food in the world there.
Oh, yeah. But, I've only been there a short period of time, so I never really got to explore anything there. I would love to stay longer when I was there. I was only there for like a day, but yeah, it's a good area. Like
yeah,
yeah.
I was hoping to eventually get my way back out there, and like I said, get some amateur actors to act out some of my skits.
Right. Would you ever, like, is that sort of like, you want to write, like, sketch shows, like, type of stuff, do you think?
Yeah, you know, everyone has, like, their realistic dream, which is, like,
oh, yeah.
You know, mine is to be, like, a computer programmer and, you know, work for all my security, that kind of stuff.
Right, and then you have your pipe dream.
Everyone has that more unrealistic dream. Mine's to write for, like, Saturday Night Live.
Right. Oh, to, so you're a big fan of Saturday Night Live?
I enjoy it. You know, I see that a lot of the comedians that have made it basically went to Saturday Night Live, and that was the rocket fuel for their career. You know?
Oh, yeah.
It's basically like a celebrity internship program.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And it's so hard to get on, and such a big thing. And it's been around for so long. That's, like, the craziest thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and I've read up on it, and I realized that it's basically just luck. Like, you just have to happen to be in the place where one of the scouts happens to be. And you have to also be good enough for them to be like, we should get that guy in here.
Oh, yeah. And the thing that's, like, so... that would be so scary to me about it is, like, you never know, like, people, when they go to do it, like, you never know what you're going to end up as. Like, a lot of people that want to be performers end up being writers. And then I think the harder thing is when people who are more, like, closer to writing become, like, performers. And it's always interesting to see that, like, that way. Oh, like, how people go, like, you know Conan O'Brien, right? You know of him?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he was a writer for the longest time. Like, he was a writer on The Simpsons and, like, on SNL and stuff. And, like, he seems like, if you've seen him, like, you know, talk and, like, the way he acts, like, in his monologue and stuff and how, like, energetic he is, it's so weird that he wasn't a performer for most of his career. He was a writer. And it's like, sort of, you bring out that side in yourself, and you don't know what you can do. Like, for me, I'm always, that's one of the things that's cool to me, is to see sort of that other side. Like, I always love, you know, that's when I, that was a tough thing about screenwriting. It was like, oh, okay, now I have to learn. It was all the pacing and everything. It was like, okay, and all the little stuff, but... yeah, that's so cool to, like, hear about, like, that sort of pipe dream. That's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you hope, but, you know, you gotta manage expectations.
Right. It seems like you just have a good, like, you know, mind towards it and everything. I was really curious, have you read, since we talked about that one joke that you have about the pig or anything, like, so you're reading a lot of stuff on Reddit. I haven't been on Reddit a whole bunch. It's always tough. Have you shared any of your like, you haven't shared any of your stuff online, right?
Well, I just started up my Instagram again. Like, I hate social media. I don't really partake too much, but,
yeah,
it's part of the game. If you want to get noticed, you gotta have those things.
That's the tough thing, is, like, social media is terrible, but, like, you sort of need to be on, at least on everything, at least to promote stuff. That's all it is.
Yeah, so I settled for Instagram, and, you know, I picked out the show I did the best in, and then I posted it, and, you know, people were, they were into it.
Have you ever thought of, like, putting, like, since you like to sort of do, like, write, like, sketches and stuff, have you ever thought of, like, doing that for, like, TikTok and stuff like that?
I've thought about it. I don't know if I really want to stoop that low to go do TikTok.
Right. Yeah. I can imagine that.
You know, I tried to avoid it like the plague.
That makes sense.
If I was going to do that kind of format, I'd probably do, like, YouTube shorts.
Right. Yeah.
Where I could, like, upload longer form stuff.
And oh,
then,
yeah.
And then do some shorts on the side.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've always enjoyed that kind of that format more in, like, YouTube videos. Like, I watch a lot of video essays and, you know, shit that goes for, like, 2 hours long.
Oh, me too. That's
what I enjoy.
Yeah, that's also, like, that's a big thing, too, that I've noticed is, like, it's so funny that, like, video essays are super, can be, like, very entertaining. It's, like, you know, it's, like, if you were asked to make, like, a video essay in, like, school, it'd be, like, work. It'd be, like, really long time, but you see people do these stuff, that stuff, and it's, like, oh, this is, like, really interesting, like, to be able to do that.
Yeah, like, my favorite, yeah, his name is Salt Factory. Like, I can just listen to the guy talk about the Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion for, like, 4 hours and not even bat an eyelash.
Right. It's, like, it's so funny how, like, time goes by with that. And also, like, that's a big skill, too, just to be able to make yourself entertaining. Like, those guys, that's a real skill because you have to have both that analytical mind and also that, like, it doesn't feel like it, but you also have to have a performer vibe of, like, being able to talk for that long and be interesting and, you know, keep your thing. Like, I listen to, like, a lot of, like movie review stuff and, like, people that do stuff like that. Like, there's a guy, his YouTube channel is called Bionic Pig, and he's, like, makes, like, video reviews of, like, movies that are shitty, and it's, like, you know, movies that we grew up with, or, like, just stuff that's, like, current, and just the way to, like, sort of condense everything and make it, like, both, like, knowledgeable, but also funny is very, it's very interesting just to see that, and to me, like, I always think, like, I put stuff up a little bit early, but it's cool to be able to go back and watch, like, your old stuff and be like, okay, this is what I do. Do you record yourself a lot? Do you record, just like, in general, like performing?
I still have like everything I've ever done.
Oh, wow. That's good.
It's just so hard to go back to it though. Cause,
oh yeah.
It's my voice. It's, like, hard to listen to.
No, it is.
I know that's, like, a thing everybody goes through.
Right. You're like, ah, oh, I can't see that. Like, yeah.
And then, you know, like I said, like, I instantly hate everything I write.
Right.
After I do it. So the same thing transfers over to when I perform.
Right.
Because, like, I look at my first ever bit, and I was like, good lord, this is shit.
Oh, yeah.
I gotta do way better than this.
Oh, yeah, I had, when I started out, I had no idea what I was doing, and, it's always so weird, like, I look back at that stuff, and I'm just like, I only had, like, I wish I had the, sort of the site that you have,
and that I see other people do where they're like, oh, well, I'll just tell stories. Like, I wish I did that. Like, to me, I was just like, I'm just going to find these weird premises and hopefully something will come of it. But the cool thing is, like, everything gets clearer as you do it more. You're like, okay, and this can interconnect and everything. And, yeah, it just keeps on going in that way. So, how many, like, how long are you in, how many years in college are you going to do? Like, 3 or 4? Like, how long does it take to get your degree?
Well, right now, I'm it's like a 4-year.
4 years?
I, like, transferred, like, 2 years worth of credits, and, I'm a junior right now, so next year will be my last one.
Wow.
Yeah.
So at least you have that, like, where you're kind of like, you're not really starting out there. You have some time to get through everything. Have people been, ever, like, been, I always have this, I always get a mix of, like, thing when you tell people, like, that you do comedy. Have you ever had people, like, go, like, oh, tell me a joke or something?
Oh, I hate that. Yeah. I hate it so much.
I know people hate that. Like, to me, it's such a weird thing. Like, I have such a mixed feeling on it. Like, sometimes I like it, and sometimes I don't, and most of the time I don't. The only reason I like it is because I always say, like, I've manipulated it to the point of, like, I don't have to tell them my joke. Like, that's not what they said. Also, I can just say a really shitty joke. Like I always have, like, a stock joke that I do that's really, I'll just do something corny. I remember a couple weeks ago, maybe it was last week, I was like, I went to Applebee's after Mike, and this guy was like on a live stream on Instagram, and he was like trying to like, and he was like, he came up to me with like his phone, he's on Instagram Live, and he's like, I'm like, oh, I'm a comedian, and I don't know why I said that, but I did, and he's like, oh, tell me a joke, and I was like, I did this really shitty masturbation joke. I said, I'm really bad at masturbating. Things got out of hand. And it was just, like, shitty stuff like that. And then I did my Garfield joke, which, of course, like, everyone knows. And, but it's like, to me, I kind of have, like, a mix of, like, it. Because I like making people happy, but it's such, like a dance, like, it's like a dance monkey dance type of thing. It's like, oh.
Yeah, it feels like a medieval king, like, yeah. Make me laugh.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, what are you, there's like no stage here, there's no, you know, microphone. And
yeah, and I realize that part of what makes people laugh is the fact that you're standing up on a stage, you know, it's the whole environment.
Right.
Like,
and
you know, you can't just say the joke to them.
Right, it's also, that's her power, like, that's our, like, that whole entire set of, like, where you are and performing on stage and everything, I always liken it to, it's, in my case, I always feel like it's kind of like being a superhero. It's like, you know, you're in your normal life, it's like, you know, you can't really be that, and then you go on stage and you perform. It's like
yeah,
being,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I guess like the analogy I can make is like, oh, you need to save that cat from that tree. It's like, I need to put on my superhero costume first. Like, I have to be in that persona before I do that. Cause that's the tough thing. Like when, cause it's always the preparation. It's like you want to have, that's the biggest thing for me. It's the preparation. That's always the big part of it. It's just like, getting your set ready, getting everything on stage, and just, like, being ready. That's the biggest part, is just being ready to do it and, you know, getting there.
I'm like, two different people, like.
Right.
You know, you see me on the stage, and then you see me, like, walking around campus, two different people.
Right. And it's good to have that, I think it's good to have that mix, because you just sort of get to keep that part of yourself where you're like, okay, I have this side where I can be kind of my studious, like, professional self,
and then I can let loose on stage, and it also gives you a good, like a healthy environment to sort of explore your creative side.
Right.
So, it's really cool. So, what else can I finally ask? This is just a random question I've been thinking. Have you seen any movies lately?
Movies, yeah. Yeah, I actually watched one of my new favorites.
Oh, what?
It's called The Bronx Tale.
Oh, what's that about?
It's about like a young kid living in the Bronx, strangely enough.
Right. sounds fitting.
He like lives up the street from like a mob hangout. So he starts to like get more ingrained into the culture as he's like growing up, and he covers for the boss, so the boss starts letting him hang out in the hangout. And you know, his dad doesn't want him to be like a mobster. He wants him to, you know, have like an honest job like he does. Like his dad's a bus driver.
Right.
So he has that pull, and he starts leaning more towards like mobster. And then eventually he starts like, he sees this girl in the high school he goes to, this black girl, real pretty.
Yeah.
So it's like it has a really nice blend of like romance, mob, and like civil rights going on in the whole story.
Right. That's like Goodfellas, like kind of like.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. No, Goodfellas. Classic.
Yeah, it's like that, like, it's always so cool, like, to see those different, like, to me, that's one of the greatest, the most hardest thing is to make a movie. Like, I know a couple of people have made movies, and they're just, you know, it's tough, you know, it takes a lot of time, and, just, for, like, going back to, like, when I was doing that writing thing, like, it was,
yeah,
I took a screenwriting class one
time,
and
documentary on like my favorite director.
Oh, really?
Kevin Smith.
Hmm.
Like he has this whole.
Oh yeah, Kevin Smith. Yeah.
It's called Clerk, I think.
Oh yeah, Clerks. I've never watched it, but I hear like I've been meaning to watch that series because I hear so many good things and so many people I know are fans of it.
Oh, I adore that. That's kind of what got me into, like, pretty much writing and, you know, performing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it kind of, it's one of the movies that shaped me into who I am, you could say.
Right. Yeah, one of my, I'm terrible with names, if I could look them up, but, there's a comedian that I know that, that has his, special, the paper special, an album performing place that he has, the area that's...
Yeah, he's got, like, a venue.
Yeah, he has a venue there, and, yeah, he had, something there, and, it was just so cool, like, to see, like, that's a good place to perform. I was like, they should have a mic there and, like, shows there, because it's just a good area. Like...
That would be really cool.
That's kind of, like, the thing with me that I do nowadays, is, like, whenever I see, like, a place now, like, that has, like, a stage or anything, I'm like, there should be comedy here. Like, that's all I think about.
Yeah.
Like, I went to, there's this traveling sort of show, that my comedian friends do in, like, Jersey City area called, Comedy Fight Club, and, they had an event, at this place called, The Meat Locker in, like, close to Jersey City, I think, and, it was just, like, in this, like, abandoned, like,
kind of like warehouse like place that was just like it was like a basement, and it was like full of graffiti and everything, and just like a really like rundown place, but it was such a cool like environment, and they had their show there.
That one. It looked like a lot of fun.
It was just like a weird name. It's like, oh, the meat lot.
So, okay. Yeah, you know, all right.
I'd love to get like a film up there eventually.
Right.
You know, filmmaking's a whole other can of worms, but
oh yeah.
You know, you gotta have the right friends. I wouldn't even know where to begin how to film it, but
right.
You know, I got the ideas. I could be a decent director if I did
right.
A shot. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's always just if you're like a vision type of person, like, and you know what you want, that's the big part of it. Like, I don't know if I could ever do that. Like, I always have such a like singular like thing of like, okay, what do I like? And I have to get like, that's the tough part is, you know, and learning to take, I think the one thing that I'm happy that I've gotten better at is like, taking criticism is a big thing that I've sort of learned too. That's the thing that you have to deal with too, with that type of thing. Because, like, really pay attention to what people think. And, like, it's the same thing with comedy, really. Like, you know, for me, I always try and make it more, less of a selfish thing. And be like, I'm performing for an audience. It's about the audience and what they like. And, of course, I want it to be my sense of humor and, like, the stuff that I like, but ultimately, I just want people to be able to enjoy whatever I'm doing up there.
I've noticed that a lot of the most successful stuff are just a bunch of friends doing something they really like, and you know, I'd love to do something like that with
you
know, some other comedians.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, that's one of the things of, like, you know, a lot of people like sort of hate on his stuff, but like Adam Sandler is like amazing with that. Like, he's sort of done that with his career of, like, he just has his friends and everything that he does, and it makes it such a better thing to be surrounded by people that you really love and get along with, and to have that sort of closeness.
Yeah, everyone clowns Adam Sandler, but I always thought he was a pretty good guy.
Oh yeah,
you know, I loved his movies when I was like 12, and then
right.
You know, they become funny again when you're in your 20s and high. Right.
And the thing that's like so great about him is he used to do stand up, and when he was starting out, like he really rushed like becoming famous because his dad gave him like an ultimatum. He's like, you have to become famous before you're 30 or you're working with me. His dad was like really strict. So he's like, he just worked really, really hard to hit that. And it's so interesting to see him like at 18 doing stand up. And it's like, oh yeah, it's so funny. But yeah, it's just cool like to see the stuff that he does with his crew and everything and all that. And of course, those movies are great. Like, especially, like, you ever see Grandma's Boy?
Of course.
Like, that movie is fucking good. Like, oh my god, I'll see that. And you know who else is a really good person that you should look up? Have you ever listened to Nick Swardson?
Oh, of course.
His stand-up is...
I grew up listening to him.
His stand-up is phenomenal. He is...
Yeah, I loved, He made a point that I always loved. He said, like, no matter what, poop is always funny.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
Like, poop's always gonna be a funny thing.
That
was just more clever with it.
Yeah.
But everyone's gonna laugh at poop.
I watched that that clip from Louis with Jim Florentine where there's an episode of Louis where Jim Florentine plays this like. This hacky comedian who is, like, really terrible. And, like, Louis's doing a show with him, and he has to, like, room with him and stuff. And the guy is just terrible. Like, all he does is those type of jokes, like, toilet humor and just terrible stuff. And Louis, like, just views him as a total hack. And
he ends up like snapping at the guy for how terrible he is on stage. And the guy's like, what, you don't think farts are funny? And he's like, you're going to sit here and tell me that farts aren't funny. And then Louis starts crying and he's like, what are you crying about? And then Louis's like, I love fart jokes. Like, you say it's such a, but it is like, that's the thing. Like, I always have a mix of like high brow and low brow. Like, I love doing that.
Course.
Yeah, like I, whenever I do that now, like, I always have like a thing where I'll be like, if I'm gonna do like a fart joke or something, I always like preface it by like kind of like sneaking out the audience. I'll be like, I'm gonna do a really highbrow joke, like a really like highbrow joke. Don't be prepared, and then I'll do a fart joke, and I'll be like, that'll be that's the way that I'll make it. But yeah, it's always cool, like the different areas of humor you can get through.
Yeah, you know, we all want to pretend we're so advanced,
right? But then it's like, oh, this is funny. Like, that's the funny thing is, you know, we like to think that like, oh, we're so deep and like everything, and then it's like, oh no, what's silly is that sort of stuff. And
yeah, like my best joke is that masturbation joke. I
oh yeah. And that's one of the, like, you don't have to tell it here, but it's, like, it's one of the best, like, those jokes are hard to do, hard, but they are, they're difficult to do because it is such a topic that's done so much, and I think in the way that you sort of do it, in your delivery of everything, and that experience is, it just works. It works, like, it's a way that you can just be like, oh, that is.
Yeah, you know, that was the first joke. I was like, this is all reliable for me.
Right.
You know, I can put different embellishments on it, and, you know, I can really spruce this one up.
Right.
Yeah. Like, most of my other stuff doesn't really make it to that level.
Right.
You know, I'm always throwing shit at the wall, but that was the first time I was like, holy shit, I can make people laugh with this.
Right. And it's such like a topic, like, you bring it up and it's great, but thank you so much for doing this and for being on, and
yeah, I appreciate you having me, man. I've never done a podcast before, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to have you on, like, a little bit later when, you know, whenever you get on, like, shows and stuff, and, like, when stuff is really happening, because that's the cool thing about this is you sort of get to see, like, how people evolve and interact and everything. But
yeah, when I get back up here for a senior year, I'll come back, and maybe I'll have a couple stories about trying to do comedy in Washington, D.C.
Right. Yeah. That'll be awesome. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll see you soon.
Yeah, see you soon.
Okay, bye.